Okay, we're going to be starting a new series on the topic of stewardship. And before I get you to open up your wallets this morning, no, just kidding. Stewardship is so much more than money. That seems to be our default setting when we start talking about stewardship. It's like our brain thinks money. But the reality is that stewardship is so much more than that. We are stewards of many things in our life. And in this series, we want to look at being a good steward of our time, our talents, and our treasures, or our money, however you look at it. The basic premise that we want to look at for these next 3 weeks is, who's the manager and who's the owner? The most important thing to understand in stewardship is found in Psalm 24, verse 11, which says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." Your first and most important step in stewardship and being a steward of anything is realizing that it's all God's. Everything is God's, and He grants you the privilege of being a caretaker. If you view anything as yours, you're starting off on the wrong foot. C.S. Lewis wrote this in his book, Mere Christianity. "Every faculty you have, your power, your thinking, or of moving of your limbs from moment to moment is given you by God. If you devoted every moment of your whole life exclusively to His service, you could not give Him anything that He was not, in a sense, His own already." So this morning, as we look at being good stewards of our time, if everything given to us is God's, that would mean time is God's as well. And we are just simply managers of the time that He has given us. Now, time, most would associate money being a valuable resource, but I think time, way much more valuable than money. No matter how hard you work, you're not going to get more time back. Time is really an equal opportunity employer. We all have the same 24 hours. The average lifespan of a Canadian is 82.6 years old. If you've surpassed that and you're here, good for you. 1 year has 525,000 minutes. So what are you doing with the time that you have left? In the words of the famous Dr. Ernie Koop, if you're still here, you have something to offer God. Often the lament around the topic of stewardship, it's always about more. Right? The preacher's always up here. I want more from you. My bent this morning is not more, but better and wiser. This morning, we're going to look at Ephesians 5, 15 to 20. We had it read this earlier. Thank you, Fran, for that. Now, Paul issues us the challenge to be wise. Wisdom is crucial as we navigate our stewardship of our time. We have 24 hours, and we need wisdom to know how to navigate those 24 hours. Wisdom is that often prayed for thing that we all pray for. We can never seem to have enough of it. If you want wisdom, the direction is pretty simple. James gives it to us. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it'll be given him. The struggle usually isn't in asking for wisdom. The struggle is often in discerning earthly wisdom versus godly wisdom. So let's take a look. Earthly wisdom versus godly wisdom. Earthly wisdom appeals to the senses and the emotions. In contrast, the wisdom that is from God reflects Him. Earthly wisdom relies on a combination of life experience and education, whereas spiritual wisdom comes from God. Now, I know what many of you are going to say. When it comes to my life experiences and my education, sometimes there's wisdom there. I'll grant you that, right? But if that is our sole catalyst, our sole motivation in our wisdom, and we leave God out of that, all of that life experience and all that education is pointless without God in it. Great thing to have, life experience and education, but if God's not in that picture, that equation, then it's really kind of worthless. However, the tendency, earthly wisdom says earthly wisdom allows us to follow our heart, encourages us to follow our heart, but godly wisdom tells us that our heart is deceitful above all things. While earthly wisdom says seeing is believing, godly wisdom tells us in John 20:29 that blessed are those who've not seen and yet have believed. Think of it this way. In earthly wisdom, we put ourself first, and the decisions made are the best for me. Whereas in godly or biblical wisdom, the decisions I make are not about me, but about my pursuit of Jesus. Godly wisdom will help us set our priorities. Does it ever feel like you don't have enough time in your day? Do you ever get to the end of the day and you feel like, I just could use more time? Think of your possible commitments over a 24-hour period. We have our devotion time, work, spouse, if that applies to you, family time, church, social engagements, exercise, and somewhere in there is sleep, hopefully. There's always this feeling that there's not enough time, and that someone in my circle is going to get shortchanged, and usually it's me. The painful reality is that there's only one of you. We may not realize it, but there is actually enough time in your day. We just need to learn to be better managers of that time. There's an all-too-familiar picture in time management describes a jar and multiple rocks, different sizes of rocks. And we have our large rocks, medium rocks, and then sand. And so the picture is that the bigger the rock, the bigger the priority. Now, wisdom is identifying those big rocks. There's a lot of things fighting for priority in your life. Who's going to win? Typically, the top four for most of us is God, our spouse, girlfriend, boyfriend, if we're in that season of life, family and job. Wisdom is putting the big rocks in first. While the temptation as dads sometimes is to think family first, right? We put our family in the jar first. And then everything else revolves around that family. The best decision that you can make in being a steward of your time is to make Christ that priority, the big rock. Colossians 3:1-2 says, If then you've been raised with Christ, seek things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above and not on things of this earth. You are on the right track being a wise steward of your time if God is your priority. Now, time and priority aren't always correlated. Sometimes we think priority is what we spend our most time on. But the reality is that you have to go to work, right? For those of you, that is your season, you have to go to work, right? We can't just sit at home all day on our knees praying, right? God has commissioned us to work, right? And so for most of us, that obligation requires work, right? There's a commitment. So just because work occupies my time doesn't mean it occupies my priority, right? I can still be at work full-time and have Christ as my priority. If Christ is my priority and I can still be at work and he guides the way I work, right? He guides the way I interact with my coworkers. He guides the decisions I make and he's with me throughout the day. So we follow the big rocks with the smaller rocks. These are the secondary things in our lives. They're still important, but they're a little less important than the first four. And lastly is the sand, right? We put the sand in the jar. These are things like video games, entertainment, social media, whatever it is. Now, the order here seems so obvious, but why do so many of us struggle with priority and what fills our time? If I fill the jar first with sand and then everything else, it's just not going to fit. If I start with the small rocks first, it's not going to fit. The order here is essential. Figure out that order, and you are on a fast track to being a good steward of your time. Part of our challenge of priorities is saying no. You heard it here first. Yes, it's okay to say no. With wisdom, we learn how to say no. When you ask someone, how's it going? What's that default answer you hear? What do you hear? Busy. How's it going? Oh, it's busy. I got this going on, right? We always hear busy. There are all kinds of things that want your time. They always seem like good things. It's never the bad things. If you have a servant heart, like I know many of you do, you are probably a target for all of the good things, right? You'll be the first person phoned to be on a committee. You'll be the first person to get up, asked to be a part of something. There is wisdom, sometimes, in just saying no. I know we may have not heard just audibly to turn down a request for ministry, but I know we may have not heard Jesus audibly say no, but I know for a fact that throughout his ministry that he left places with work not done, with work incomplete, and he moved along. He had the wisdom and the knowledge to say no and to move on. When our priorities get shifted, we start to take on too much. We lose that ability to say no. Please understand, you are not saying no to God. Saying no to God is hazardous to your health. If it's God asking, that answer better be yes. However, this is just about you and about your pride, about your need to be accepted, about your need to do things. You may want to reconsider your answer. I'm going to take a guess here. And I think sometimes our struggle in saying no is because we struggle about disappointing people, right? If I say no, then that person's going to be disappointed in me or angry at me. And I think part of the wisdom of saying no is being okay with that, right? Part of the wisdom of saying no is that something may not happen because I said no. Part of the wisdom of that is something, you know, a program might get canceled, right? Or something might come to an end because I said no. If it's truly God's work, he will find the right person at the right time to make that program or ministry happen. God's work is bigger than you, and it's not dependent on you. There's only one Savior of the world, and it's not you. I know these are foolish things to say, but it's, you know, the reality is that a lot of us struggle with that ability to say no. Next struggle that we sometimes see in time management is the ability to rest. I fully realize that for some of us, stewardship and management is little to do with rest. It's all about efficiency, maximizing priority, maximizing our day. And I think our struggles with rest are often dictated by our priorities, right? If God is my priority, rest will be my priority, right? As busy as Jesus was, he still managed to find time to escape, to rest. Our struggle with rest can also be influenced by where our faith is at. If I think God will take care of it, I have the freedom to rest, right? However, if I feel like I'm doing it all by myself, I won't have that time to rest. Our Creator worked 6 days, rested one. If the Creator of the world needed a day, so do you. If the goal is to get there faster, then don't rest. However, if the goal is to go further, rest is required. Matthew 11:29-30, Jesus says this, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You have an invitation from Jesus to rest. And rest is not a waste of time. In fact, you're being a poor steward of your time if you don't choose to rest. Rest is a gift from God. None of us are so important or so crucial that we can't take some time to rest. There's also wisdom in identifying our obstacles. Paul gives us encouragement here to walk or to live carefully, to walk carefully suggests that there's going to be obstacles in your day, in your life, things that occupy your time, steal your time. There's tremendous wisdom in knowing what those obstacles are and either working with them or working around them. Right now, in Manitoba, we are in prime pothole season. Just yesterday, I navigated that road kind of by Starbucks coming up there in the mall. My goodness, like holes, like wow. Got to do the Manitoba slalom there to get through that. So how many times do you drive down the same road and hit the same pothole? Man alive, why do we do that? Wisdom here is knowing where the pothole is. You've seen it. I drive down the same road every day. Wisdom here is knowing where that pothole is and driving around it, avoiding it. Now, the obstacle or the pothole might always be there. If it's Steinbeck, there's going to be a pothole. But how do we work around it? What are some of those obstacles? What are some of those time thieves in your life? Yeah, unfortunately, that's a big one. Entertainment, social media, cell phones, hobbies. There's other ones too. Worry, that's a time thief. Procrastination, there's lots. There's lots of things vying for time in your day. With wisdom, we learn how to navigate with those things. I'm not telling you to throw out your phone. That's definitely not what I'm saying here. But learn the obstacles. Learn to work with it. If maybe it involves turning it off for a little bit, then maybe that's wisdom. If it maybe involves taking social media off your phone, that's wisdom. Next, with wisdom, we make the most of our opportunities. We make the most of our opportunities for God when we say yes to him. In Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 4, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness, and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There was the angel of the Lord. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight. Why does the bush not burn up? When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called up to him from within the bushes and he said, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Moses said yes to God. Did he have it all figured out? Not even maybe. Was he the most eloquent of speakers? Not even maybe. Was he the perfect servant? Nope. The one thing that he had going for him was a willingness. Saying yes to God will give you opportunities. It may take you across the globe, or it might just take you across the hall to visit a neighbor. It may require a move, or it might just require a few minutes of your day. Saying yes to God will help you make the most of every opportunity. Imagine, what would happen if every morning you woke up and you said, Lord, here I am, use me. If that was your starting prayer every day, just imagine the opportunities that will come your way. You want opportunities in your day? Listen to the Holy Spirit. Paul gives us encouragement to be filled with the Spirit. The contrast here, you know, is of drunkenness and being filled with the Spirit, and being a drunkard points to a lifestyle of foolishness. To be filled with the Spirit is all about being led by the Spirit and to be guided by the Spirit. That's a life of wisdom. The Spirit is masterful in guiding us. If you ever feel a nudge to stop and talk to someone, that's the Spirit, and I encourage you to yield to that moment. Now, I shared this story a few weeks ago in Sunday school. It does not paint me in the greatest light, but it's a good story. Many, many years ago, I wanted to be a good husband, not particularly just in that moment, but all the time, naturally. It's a good segue there, yeah. We were living out of camp. It was about 30 minutes away from Morden, and I wanted to be a good husband in that moment, and I wanted to buy my lovely wife a Dairy Queen Blizzard. And so it was around 30 minutes to get home. And so I had planned and scheduled my trip back the 30-minute travel to Lowe. Okay, I'm going to pick up this Dairy Queen Blizzard, and I got to drive straight because I know in 30 minutes that ice cream is going to melt. So, done shopping, doing all my work in town, buy the Blizzard. Okay, straight home. I get just outside of Morden, and I see someone on the side of the road with their hood up, and they're out, and I'm like, nope, can't do it, can't stop, got to keep going. Ice cream's melting. So I keep moving, I keep going. About 2 miles later, there's a person on the side of the road. Flat tire, car's jacked up, they're working away. Nope, can't do it, gotta keep going, gotta be a good husband, right? I get about 10 minutes down the road and I just feel like garbage. I said no to two opportunities to get to help God. So I arrive at camp, I hand my wife her Blizzard, and I just take it. Fine. She's just like, why are you so angry? I'm just like, I missed opportunities to serve God. Opportunities from the Spirit are rarely scheduled or planned. Opportunities quite likely disguise themselves as interruptions. How many times do you have interruptions in your day? They come from in the forms of flat tires, lineups in grocery stores. They come usually when we don't want them and they catch us off guard, and they come when we're waiting. Think of the amount of hours in your day you spend waiting. They usually catch us off guard. These opportunities rarely catch us prepared. I can well imagine that in Jesus' ministry, much of it was based around interruptions. People who stopped him and pulled him aside and took his time and interrupted maybe where he was going. Jesus viewed people way more important than time. Some of the interruptions in your day can be an opportunity for you to value people over time. We talk a lot about efficiency and maximizing our day. I think as a Christian, we have to sometimes worry less about efficiency and more about people. An interruption from God is not a waste of time. In fact, it's probably the wisest use of your time. If we are listening, we will see these everyday opportunities and be available to do God's work. If we are listening, not only will we see the opportunity, but the Spirit is going to give us those words to say. I'm really not that wise, as much as you may think. If you've ever heard me say wise words, they're not my words. They're God's. Paul speaks of the shortness of time, the days being evil. This picture here is that the days are short and judgment will come soon. Moses prayed in Psalm 90, verse 12, "Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Now, the Bible gives us several pictures of the shortness, the brevity of life. This is not intended to give you anxiety or put you in panic, but I think the truth is that panic will come about if we haven't used our time wisely. However, if we're proud of our time, if we've been using our time wisely on God, with God, we won't be concerned. By numbering our days, we gain that heart of wisdom. We learn how to use our time wisely. Time is short. It's not guaranteed. There's no pause or rewind button. We just keep moving forward. This past Christmas, a few years ago, we discovered my wife's grandma is battling a very slow progressing cancer. And so this past Christmas, she had the entire family together at the hotel. And it was a really cool experience. You know, get 30 people, 30 hotel rooms there, I think. And we just had a blast. But I think in my grandma's mind, or my wife's grandma's mind, I think she realized that she wasn't sure if she was going to have one more Christmas. And so she maximized that day, that weekend, to just love on her family and to be with them. And it was a very cool experience. And I think her reality was that she didn't know what was coming, whether her next Christmas was going to happen or not. Each one of us has been allocated a certain number of days. The total is different for all of us. Now, tomorrow is certainly not guaranteed. You've been granted those days, and you're asked to use them wisely. The one thing I do know is that in your day, if you commit to following the Lord and seek his wisdom, he will help you be a wise steward of those days. Now, in closing, the one thing that we often forget about in stewardship is accountability. If you read the parable of the talents, there's this understanding that the owner ultimately holds his people to account. God will hold us to an account of how we use our time. If you are still here and you have a say, you have a say in how that account is. From the steward, from the wise steward, they will hear the words from Matthew 25:23 that said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things." You have about 12 hours and 20 minutes left in this day. What are you going to do with that?